Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. And I'll tell you what a weekend it has been here in the Midwest. We have had a lot of rain. We've had some flooding in different places. But have you noticed people are out shopping too? So obviously they're getting ready for Memorial Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. But before we do that, you know, we always have to talk about the Trim Radio Group, because if we didn't, hey, we got to spread the word out there, and we need your help doing it, because we go all over the world. And I have listeners in Myanmar, which used to be Burma, India, down in South Africa, Kenya, North America, everywhere except Iceland. I don't get anything from Iceland. Maybe one of these days I will. But we need to talk about our good old group here at trimradio.com. And here we are. And you can amplify your voice and grow your impact. All you have to do is join us, Trim Radio Network. Means gaining access to a comprehensive suite of tools, resources, and support. You can do your own show. It is easy to do. It really is. And you can pitch your own show. You can do a live stream, whatever. And it's a great thing. It really is. And we have a lot of good presenters, too, for our station. Anyhow, our group. Our company, our leadership, the Fab Four, as I like to call them. And the Fab Four, well, we just have to bring them up. They didn't pop up like I normally do. We have Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. He's responsible for the overall vision, mission, leadership, and performance of the entire company. And then we have Roscala Stefan. He's the chief operating officer, responsible for the day-to-day operation management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. He's also a very good computer guru. And then there's me. I'm the chief relationship officer. I guess I'm supposed to build and maintain the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Yeah. We like to give you good shows, original shows, and provide you with good information, because we cut the bull and serve the truth. That's our motto. We also have Victoria Smith. She's the chief marketing officer. She's responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. So if you have a company, maybe a business side hustle, maybe it's a club, a sorority, a fraternity, maybe it's a college or university, and you need marketing advice, get a hold of Victoria Smith. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is click on the red button over here on the right side, and this pops up. How can we help you today? All you need to do is put in your name, your phone number, and I want to know more about maybe putting on your own show, or advertising, or donating, or buying the merchandise. All you have to do is fill that out and then send the message. It's very easy to do. As some people like to say, no problemo. So, if you want to join us, that's great. We have some good presenters, and some I've known for quite a while. So, we'll get into those guys. I'll tell you what, this is the Fab Four, and we like to do the shows, and we like to have fun doing them. And if you want to help out and buy the collectibles, you could shop. And the collectible page, hey, we've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got mugs. We've got insulated travel mugs with lids. We've got shirts, we've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got danglers. Is that right? Danglers? Ornaments. Ah, that's it, ornaments. We have offsides college football top t-shirts for the kids. We have mugs. We have creators dad's hats. We have the round mouse pad where you cannot corner your mouse on a round mouse pad. And we also have other things like the danglers, the ceramic ornaments. We also have the Trim Creators Studios embroidered beanie. So if you're in a cold climate, buy our beanie. Also, what you could do is buy the AirPod cases. They're $19.95. You supply the AirPods and buy our cases and you can store them in there. No problems. Okay? Help support the show because everything that the money that we get goes into buying airtime. None of our people get paid for doing their shows. We just love to do the shows and present a lot of information. It's useful information. Well, if you want to take a look at our shows, here they are. We've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. We have Life Walk with Christ God Wednesday at 7 p.m. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. That's on Wednesday at 8 p.m. And then we have Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer Podcast, and that's Thursday. So you want to check on that. We have the Offsides College Top Football 25. With Michael Bejas and friends. We have the Positude Podcast at 8 p.m. And then we have Adventure Waits Around the Bend at Saturday at 1 p.m. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, and that's at 1:30. Then we have the Red Pill Reality Show on Saturdays at 9 p.m. It's a good show. It goes 3 hours. And I'll tell you what, he has some good guests on there. Talks about a lot of good things. So you want to check him out. Also, and that's Rascala Stefan. You really have to check him out. It's a good show. I've been on it. I watch it on Saturdays, and I'll tell you what, it's a good show. We also have Revelation with Peter Kling, and I believe he's Thursday nights. And we also have Dora with Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry and her many guests. So she has a lot of guests on her show. So you want to check that one out. We also have a blank space here for you. Okay, if you want to do your own show, hey, contact us. We'll tell you what equipment you need and show you where to get your information and help you out with your show. I mean, it's very easy to do. I'm using a Nexigo 4K camera and microphone. Other people use other types. Some people like to use iPhones. You could easily do that. But you have to know how to use the equipment. So that's it for the shows that we do, okay? If you want to do your own show, let us know, and we can get you set up. It's very easy to do, okay? And you can get your own guests and so forth. If you need marketing advice, get a hold of Victoria Smith. And she can do that. So again, these are the shows that we've got. And Money and Change, we're usually live every Sunday from 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. However, I have 4 more concerts I have to play, and we will give you advance notice and put up a replay or an encore edition, as Rush Limbaugh used to call it. And we will do that. And also, My World is live every Wednesday, unless an emergency comes up. And it was like this last week. I had to be in Cincinnati. And with that, we couldn't do the show. But I did put up a replay for that. So anyhow, guys, that gives you a background on trimradio.com. Check us out. You know, we're on Rumble. We're on YouTube. Just type in Trim Radio. And hit enter, and it will come up with our shows. And for example, this show, as soon as this show's over, I post it to our Facebook page, which we'll get into in a minute. And it also goes up on YouTube, and it goes to the Trim Radio Facebook page too. Then the following day, it is uploaded to Rumble, and you can check us out there. Okay? Very easy to do. Hey, our Facebook page, this is what it looks like. And we've got our members. If you want to join us, let us know, and we'll just go ahead and add you in. All you have to do is click that red button on the right side, say, hey, I want to join Stu's Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And we'll go ahead and add you. It's very simple to do. Some of the things that we put up here, and this is our show lead off for tonight. But what we put up here, all the information that I do on the shows, all the articles and so forth, if you click on the comment section, and you're going to see about mortgages that are zombified and food price inflation. Delivery Hero confirms Uber's takeover bid and push for a global food delivery empire. Wyoming is America's deadliest state for workers and so forth. I post all this information there, and I've done that for quite a while. So you can go into our past editions on our Facebook page, and you can find out what we talked about. Also, we talk about the U.S. national debt clock real time. So you want to check that out. Also, I post videos. Sometimes Granny Bibbins gets in here, and it's funny. She does a lot of funny stuff. And I post her from time to time. I talk about GMRS radios. And in an emergency, they're good things to have. And for example, I have a Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. What does that mean? It's a good radio. I can talk out 35 miles from where I live. I can talk to all my family members with this radio, providing they have their own radio, and they use the same license. Guess what? It's $35 for 10 years from the FCC. It's good for 10 years. And I can talk out 35 miles to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, and guess what? I can get out 90 miles beyond that. It's great. You get to meet a lot of different people different times, okay? But it's good in an emergency. If the power goes out and these radios are charged up and you have a battery charging ability for these things, it's easy to charge them because you can use a USB-C port to do that. Anyhow, I clicked the wrong button again. Daggone it. Well, anyhow, GMRS radios, they're really good to have. If I were you, I wouldn't get them at Wally World, better known as Walmart, or Costco, because guess what? They really don't perform like the higher-end radios. I get mine through buytwowayradios.com, and there are other sources. I don't get paid to say this, but in an emergency, those radios come in handy. And you can get other radios, whether they're Baofengs or whatever. But they're good radios to have. And it's a good thing that you can contact maybe your neighbors, maybe your neighborhood, maybe your relatives across town. Yeah. Good things to have. Okay. But anyhow, I post a lot of different things here. Banned Money Tricks. Hey, check it out. There's our show from last week. And again, so, you know, like I said, if you just click on the page here and it'll tell you what we did last week, okay? Everything's there. A lot of information. And in times like this, man, I'll tell you what, you need a lot of information to keep your head above water, okay? Because it financially, it is something else. Well, you know, this weekend is what we would call Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day is tomorrow, which is Monday, and a lot of things go on. I mean, you have your family cookouts, you have your family get-togethers, you have parades in some cities and villages and towns. Some cases, you just go to the cemetery and decorate the graves. Well, I found a video, which I think kind of brings the information home before we get into financial stuff, okay? So let's watch this one and see what's going on here.
Major formal practice of what we've come to call Memorial Day was in Charleston, South Carolina on May 1st, 1865. Charleston, of course, seedbed of secession, held out to the bitter end. It wasn't evacuated by Confederate forces until February of 1865. When the Confederates evacuated and the Union Army moved in, pretty much the white population of Charleston left, and the people who were left were the free people. In the midst of these ruins, the black folks of Charleston got themselves organized. They planned various little commemorations and celebrations. The biggest celebration, though, that they planned was at the Planters Race Course, the horse track. In the last year of the war, the Confederates converted this race course into a prison for Union soldiers. And about 260 Union soldiers died of disease and exposure in the infield, in this open-air prison, and were buried in a mass grave behind the grandstand of the racetrack. And the black folks reinterred all the dead in proper graves. They named nearly none of them because there were no dog tags. And they built around it a huge fence, whitewashed it, and they built an archway into the compound. And over the archway, they painted the inscription, Martyrs of the Race Course. And then on May 1st, when they had this completed, they held a parade on the racetrack, estimated at about 10,000 people by newspaper correspondents who witnessed it and covered it. It was led off by about 3,000 black children carrying armloads of flowers and, we're told, singing John Brown's Body. Then followed by black women and black men, and then by contingents of Union infantry, black and white. They all paraded around the racetrack. Five black preachers read from scripture. A children's choir sang America the Beautiful, the Star Spangled Banner, and quote unquote, several spirituals. And they dedicated the cemetery of these Union dead. And then they broke up and went into the infield of the racetrack and did what most of us do on Memorial Day. They held picnics. And that is one of, if not the most important origin of what we've come to know as Memorial Day.
And that's Memorial Day. And I started looking up different things, and, you know, artificial intelligence sometimes is good, and sometimes it gives you a good overview of everything. And I just thought I would just cover this here. You know, you talk about the cost of things, talking about money, and hosting or attending a typical Memorial Day picnic or cookout for a group of 8 to 10 people will cost roughly about anywhere from $68 to $120. And it depends on the menu and the shopping habits, you know, where you go. Some people will go to Walmart. Some people will go to Costco. Some people will go to Kroger's or an IGA store, Aldi's, wherever, and they try to get the best deal. And, you know, it depends on the inflation and everything that's going on. And barbecues are getting expensive, and traditional barbecue staples are about 13% more expensive this year because of the meat. The prices of meat is just, it's gone high and higher. So instead of barbecues, maybe it's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs. Or maybe it's just going to be hot dogs and a whole bunch of different macaroni and cheese and vegetables and salads. try to keep the cost down, okay? But the core cost for 8 to 10 people, burgers and hot dogs, ground beef averages roughly $6.70 to $6.90 per pound, with packages of hot dogs and brats ranging from $5 to $8, depending on the brand. And I'll tell you what, you look at it, and people just only have one hot dog, or they have one hamburger. It's usually maybe two hot dogs, or a hot dog and a hamburger, or two hamburgers. Buns and condiments, hey, ketchup, mustard, and relish usually add about $10 to your cart. And sides and produce, prepare to see a larger jump here. A six-pack of corn on the cob can average $5 to $6, while watermelon and standard bags of potato chips usually run about $12 to $15 each. Beverages and snacks, cases of soda or beer, or around here they call it pop, along with bottled water, usually account for about a quarter of your total picnic budget, coming to about $20 to $30. And that came from the Century Foundation. Local options and alternatives around where I live in Pickwell, Ohio, we have potlucks. We have local parks you can go to. Not a lot of people go eat at the cemetery anymore. We basically stay home or maybe go out to eat or visits relatives and so forth. And there are different events. Like it's telling me right now, you know, I could go to Greenville, Ohio, you know, and have a complimentary lunch at the American Legion post. I won't be over in Greenville. I'm not going to travel because traveling on Memorial Day weekend is not a good thing, I don't think. So I'm staying local. You know, you take a look at the cost of everything else, and everybody's talking about different prices and so forth. And they're saying between $68 and 37 cents. Upwards to $71 to $90. It's going to vary out there depending on who you're talking to. The average cost per person is in 2018 was $5.11 to $5.51. Now it's gone up to $7.12 to $8.56. That's a 40 to 55% increase. And the total cost for 10 guests is around $55.07. At the cheap end, and you're talking about a 29 to 63% increase there. Ground beef, for example, according to this, was $3.50 to $4 in 2018, and now at 2026 is $6.71 to $6.90 a pound. That's between a 75% and 90% increase. Yeah. And so we've got record high beef prices. We've got produce and side surges with, you know, different other types of vegetables. And for example, 6 ears of sweet yellow corn reached about $5.90, while fresh tomatoes climbed about 39.7% over the preceding year. And those are hothouse tomatoes, basically. We'll get the other stuff later on. Condiment shortages, condiments and extras like pickle relish experienced a staggering 49% to 50% spike due to extreme weather causing severe crop shortages. And if you go into, for example, I went to Kroger's the other day, and I was looking for a couple of different items. And they didn't have those items. They normally would carry them. Well, suddenly that part of the shelving was blank. And the same thing at Walmart. They were missing different things too. And you really had to look. For example, you know, if you went to Walmart and you were looking at the candy aisle, if you have a penchant for, you know, dark chocolate, people would go there and they'd, hey, there's not much of a choice here. Gee, what am I going to do? Try another store. look for other brands. At least when I went to Walmart today, I was looking for a couple other items, and gee whiz, they had tons of bread. It was amazing. They were stocked, and they were loaded for bear, if you know what I mean. So you want to check out the stores, do your shopping, be safe on the roads, and check your prices, because you're going to have to. Wow, so much for that. We've got to get back into the information here. So, you know, those are your costs. Prices are up. Learn to watch what you're doing for food. And what I would do is basically have a lot of baked beans, macaroni salad, pea salad, all kinds of different types of salads, because meats are going to be expensive. So you're going to have to serve a lot more vegetables. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. Well, this wasn't supposed to come up this way. Oh, this is something interesting. Resins float, surefire way of getting potholes and trash cleaned up in LA. I'm not going to mention the word. But authorized by Steve Watson from Modernity News, Los Angeles residents have had enough of living in a crumbly, graffiti-covered wasteland where basic services have collapsed under years of Democrat mismanagement. Well, mismanagement can be on all levels. But what they did, every time they found a pothole, they wrote around it, vote for Pratt, because he's the other guy that's running against, I believe it's Karen Bass. So they want you to vote for Pratt because Bass created the holes. And having had a problem with that, believe it or not, it was at a Walmart parking lot in a shopping center, because they owned the parking in that section of the area. I hit a water-covered sinkhole, is what I'm going to call it, because I felt like it. It literally blew my front right tire. I mean, you could put your fist inside the hole that it caused. And after the water, of course, splashed out, it was a deep hole. I even took pictures of it. And it was a little bit deeper than this one, I think. Well, anyhow, in the article, and that cost me some money too, because they were Michelin tires. But in a display of pure ingenuity, citizens are fighting back by tagging over blighted areas with Vote Pratt, betting that Mayor Karen Bass will rush to erase any sign of support for her political rival far faster than she addresses the endless decay. And this clever workaround shines a harsh light on the priorities in a city drowning in filth, where open drug markets and rat-infested encampments flourish, while taxpayers foot the bill for billions in ineffective solutions. Because of their inefficiency and mismanagement, a lot of cities have problems. Now, potholes are a general happening occurrence. You know they're going to happen, but normally cities patch them up very quickly. As soon as the weather gets acceptable to use a cold patch or even use hot tar to patch the holes, they will be out doing it. But in some larger cities where they don't manage their money very well, you have that problem. It's just decay. It's not taking care of what you have. If you do proper maintenance on anything, you're going to save money in the long run. It's just common sense. So I thought I would bring that one up. Wow, how about zombie home foreclosures? I was going to have a zombie movie. I don't know. It might spook out some people. just in case kids are watching. But anyhow, zombie home foreclosures numbers increase in 38 U.S. states. Remember I said the housing market was just about ready to collapse? Maybe we're seeing it. I can't tell you. Definitely it is. Maybe it is. And maybe we'll know sooner or later. Well, authored by Naveen Anthropoli, now that's a name, the Epoch Times, and I've talked about her before, the numbers of residential zombies foreclosures in the second quarter of 2026 marginally increased from the previous quarter, with such foreclosures rising in the District of Columbia and 38 out of the 50 U.S. states. Real estate analytics company ATTOM, Adam, said in a May 21st statement. Now, out of the country's 104.9 million residential properties, 245,376 were in the foreclosure process in the second quarter. Of those, 8,312 properties, or 3.4%, were zombie, meaning the owners had abandoned the properties before the end of their foreclosure proceedings. In other words, they just said, heck with it, I can't afford to pay it anymore, I'm leaving. And they leave the bank holding the bill. And then you wonder why your interest rates are going up. People just can't afford things, so they say, I'm not going to pay for it anymore. You can go ahead and repossess it. And that's happening more and more frequently. Now, a zombie foreclosure typically happens when a homeowner receives a pending foreclosure notice and decides to leave the home before they legally are required to do that. They leave the home vacant. They just walk out. Pack up their stuff and leave. And it's an added cost for everybody because they didn't meet their obligations. And yeah, they could be out of work. Or maybe they just bought more than they could use, you know? It's scary. It really is. And I'm finding out too with cars. Somebody was saying there was a certain car service where you can go online and take a look at cars, and then you go to that location, and they will bring them out of the storage lot so you can look at them. They're having a lot of people get cars repossessed, and there are high-end cars out there available. So if you want to get a Cadillac, you want to get an SUV, you want to get a truck, you want to check out the local repossession agencies, because they want to get rid of the cars, they want to sell them. And you might be able to get a very good price. I've done that on a couple of cars, and they were quite nice. But it's a sign of the times. People are saying, okay, I just bought this brand new Genesis for, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number, $80,000, I think is one of them I looked at. But it was a Genesis, and it was a fairly new one, 1 or 2 years old, and it was like $80,000 on the market. I bet you could probably pick it up for probably $50,000. Because they want to get rid of those off the market. They'd be a really decent car. Wow, what's going on in Wyoming? Wyoming is America's deadliest state for workers. How many of you live in Montana, Wyoming, in that area? Well, according to the chart, the workplace fatality rate by state here in Ohio, 3.2. You go out to California, 2.4. Texas is 3.9, but the highest is Wyoming. And that reflects the high-risk industries dominating in its small workforce, which would be oil. They're doing a lot of oil exploration there. Yeah, and that can be a dangerous thing. For example, it kind of hits home with me because I had a grandfather, a great-grandfather that was in the oil business, and he was in Arkansas. And he was an oil engineer, and he got killed in an accident. Well, in Arkansas right now, it's 6.2. Wyoming, it's 13.9. It's kind of scary. You take a look at Mississippi, it's 8.0. Trucking is central to Mississippi's economy and a major driver of the workplace fatalities. So it's scary, but in Wyoming, yeah. So I thought that would be interesting to bring that one up. I mean, relatively in Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, it's not that bad. You start getting into the coal states like West Virginia and Kentucky. West Virginia has a lot more accidents there due to the mines. So not all jobs are super safe. And if you have one of those difficult jobs, be safe. Okay. What else is going on? Oh, we have a video.
Millions of Americans are preparing for Memorial Day weekend. And this year, food prices remain a key pressure point for consumers. For more, we're bringing in Stu Leonard Jr., CEO and president of Stu Leonard's. We're hearing all about uncooked ground beef, hot dogs more expensive. What are you seeing prices there? And what is causing that?
You know what we're seeing with proteins right now is people are trading down a little bit. A pork chop is under $10. Chicken is only $5, say, a pound. People are looking at burgers maybe more than steaks on the grill.
But do you want to get to some of those maybe toppings that we're seeing? Because lettuce was a little bit more expensive. We had tomatoes more expensive as well. Like you said, it was because of that freeze that we saw in Florida. Where else are you maybe seeing some higher prices this Memorial Day?
You have to break this economy into two pieces. It's not all inflation. Okay, there's a lot of supply and demand issues. Like, for instance, meat, demand for meat is really high. The supply is low, so prices are going to be up. So if you wipe that out, the prices really are only up 1% to 2%. You have to take a lot of these weather issues, a drought out in the Midwest. You got the cold snap down in Florida. I know there's fires out in the West Coast, which is driving, you know, some of the lettuce prices up.
We've seen the impact of aluminum roll through the system. And is it cheaper to maybe go with liters of soda as opposed to maybe grabbing a 12-pack of soda cans?
You know, these are all really festered into the inflationary cost. We have packaging prices. A lot of the plastic even has to do with petroleum things. So all of those factors are affecting me in the food business. There's a lot of issues, but I feel optimistic. I think that also, I feel fuel prices have come down. So I sort of feel people can see, not in the next maybe month or two, but I think overall, I think next Memorial Day, you're gonna feel things are a little more economical.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they edited that video because I imagine he was really telling him everything about what was going on with the food industry, okay? And it's true. In the wintertime, your prices on lettuce and tomatoes, even onions, are going to be much higher. And when you go to, for example, late spring or you get into May, June, July, and those homegrown tomatoes come out or cucumbers or whatever, hey, that's great. A lot of cases, you know, we have to import things from South America during the wintertime. It's a necessity because we can't grow things up here. And it's vice versa. They will buy stuff from us during the summertime here when it's wintertime there. It's kind of interesting. What else is going on? Let's see here. I've got a bunch of other stuff, and I don't need the Daily Wolf. So let's go to the next one here. Replacements, how U.S. helps foreign workers take American jobs. Yeah, Steve Edgington with Real Clear Investigations. Mary, a veteran Silicon Valley marketer who can't find a job considers herself a victim of H-1B visa program run amok. In her story, a U.S. native replaced by a foreign-born employee who is willing to work at a significantly lower wage has become commonplace, and particularly in the tech industry. And adding insult to injury, she says her CEO, who hails from India, told her to train a man selected to replace her before laying her off. How many of you have had that situation? You have to train somebody to take your job. Wasn't there a video about take this job and shove it? But what would happen if you did that and that person took your job and you were let go? Would you get a favorable letter of recommendation? People are looking for the best price on everything, and you really have to watch and protect your job, okay? So they were saying, despite stints at Google and Cisco and 2 years of job hunting, Mary can no longer compete in a job market saturated with foreign-born H-1B visa holders. I'll tell you what, in some cases, we had, when I was working with the state of Ohio, we actually had a group of Indian programmers that came in, and they won the contract to design a system for us. And this is a 3,000 member agency, and they were doing certain types of financial and different types of programming. And it was supposed to be a specialized program. Well, they worked on it and worked on it, worked on it, but guess what? It didn't fly. It didn't work. There were too many bugs in it. And basically, we lost, I think, a little over $1 million on it. And our in-house programmers were so busy, they didn't have time to work on this specialized program. So you get what you pay for, and if you get low bid, sometimes you get bad talent. Well, that's what we did. And even though the Indian programmers that were there and software engineers, they were nice people, really great people, but I don't think that they had the technical expertise to do what needed to be done. So it was a gigantic program, and I think they failed to deliver. So, you know, we're running into that. You're getting low-cost talent. Who will do it for less? Why do they take people to do it for less? Because they're looking at the bottom line, because their shareholders need to have a good return. And they have to manage things to get those bonuses and everything else out. It's a tough job. It is. And people getting really high paid jobs, if you mess up, what's going to happen? The boss is going to come in and says, you're out of here. I'll get somebody to work cheaper. And I have a friend that has a factory. And his main staff are all professional people, engineers with degrees and everything else, very good people. But then he hires a lot of temps, temporaries. And sometimes they make mistakes in production line. And that can hurt. Luckily, he's in the plastics industry, and all he has to do is remelt what he had ruined, and he can redo things. So anyhow, that's going on. Let's see what else is happening here. Oh yeah, with commercial real estate still challenging, lenders offload trouble loan at a loss. And that's what they do. They sell them off at a loss. They want to get them off the books. And banks will do that. They will turn around and sell their portfolio to another bank. And banks are famous for this. All banks do it. But anyhow, this is authored by Mary Prenon, and this is Epoch Times. And she said, while leasing activity and vacancy trends suggest the U.S. commercial real estate market is stabilizing, office values are still well below post-pandemic peaks, recent reports show. And basically, you know, as owners scramble to make payments on under-occupied office buildings, many lenders are reluctant to foreclose to avoid a headache of taking ownership. And then they have to turn around and resell the property. So here you have this large office building and only a couple of tenants in there. You can't make the payments on the loans that you took out to build that building. And things get tight. So the banks are saying, well, do we take a little bit of money and run the payments out longer? What are we going to do here? Well, anyhow, according to Cushman and Wakefield, a global commercial real estate service company, national office sublease inventory in the first quarter declined 13.6% year over year to 101 million square feet, while vacancy may have peaked. Well, after COVID, or during COVID, they said, okay, you can work out of your homes. And they gave you that option to do that. Well, after COVID, they said, okay, we can bring you back into the office. And then they said, well, wait a minute. It was cheaper for us to have them work from home. And we got maybe the same productivity, maybe a little bit more or maybe a little bit less. But we didn't have to pay for their transportation to and from work, if that was in their purview. Or here they had the office space and they said, well, we don't need to have that anymore, so we're moving out. And you own the building? Well, gee whiz, what happens? You've got a problem. And that's what's happening. Like the cars and the houses, people say, heck with it, we're leaving. And we'll stay home. We'll work out of our homes. We'll do remote working. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Wow, Delivery Hero confirms Uber's takeover bid in push for global food delivery. This was on Zero Hedge. And Delivery Hero confirms 33 euro takeover bid. And Uber's speculation of Delivery Hero takeover and Uber builds large stake in Delivery Hero. I wonder if they are going to do that. Delivery Hero confirms takeover bid. And basically that Uber has proposed buying the German food delivery company for 33 euros per share, in line with earlier takeover reports. So Uber wants to buy Delivery Hero. Now, I've seen videos where in large cities in Russia, they have robots that deliver the food. And they put them in these little robots and they actually cross the street. When the light changes in their favor, they cross the street and they deliver the food wherever it goes. And it's amazing to see how they work. And then when they're done, they go back to the source, you know, the restaurant. And they back in, charge up again. And then the restaurant puts the food in there, programs in the delivery. And guess what? That's what they do. So it's interesting to see those types of deliveries. Now, Uber builds a large stake in Germany's Delivery Hero as the speculation builds. And you know, here's a picture of Delivery Hero. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see here, okay, as to see how things work with food delivery. I don't know about you, but I don't use Uber because one thing. If I get it, it doesn't stay hot. I'd rather just go and get it myself. Oh, yeah, food prices. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. That's with Stu Leonard's. The one thing they did have on gas prices are going to go up. They said there's a possibility that gas could go up to $5 a gallon. Of course, right now it's $4.75. But can you imagine going up to $5 a gallon or maybe $5 or $6 a gallon. Hopefully they get the Iran situation taken care of. What else do we have? Oh, help wanted. The replacements, how U.S. helps foreign workers take American jobs. We talked about that, but there's another article on it. Stephen Edgington with Real Clear Investigations. So that was there. Too many different things. And I'm getting duplicates of things. And that was one thing. I had something on here that I wanted to show, and that was the U.S. debt clock. And it just magically disappeared. I don't know what's going on here with some of the stuff, but here it is. And, you know, people keep spending, and our debt is going higher and higher and higher. And COVID was part of the reason for it. We all know that. But the U.S. national debt now is $39,284,723,000,000 and climbing. That's $114,244 per citizen. Or per taxpayer, it's $357,070. And I don't know about you, but I just don't happen to have that in my wallet. That would really mess up my year if they said we need that money now. That would really hurt the budget. Okay. Welcome to Poverty Central. But you take a look at these. These are real-time numbers. And you can take a look at all kinds of statistics. And you say, well, I'm not really into statistics. If I could pronounce it, statistics. But we have all different types of things here that you can look at. Bankers' futures. We've got money creation. Future USA Treasury dollars. M2 and other supplies. Trade deficits. I mean, our trade deficits are $736 billion in a trade deficit. Right there it is. To China, almost 144 billion. Yeah, we're broke. So you can take a look at everything. Mineral reserves, gold supply demands, home sales, auto sales, energy output, precious gold metals. Oh, precious gold. Let's see what we've got here. Tells the amount, but it doesn't tell the dollar amount. But the United States has 186,915,172 ounces. That's a lot. But then you take a look at cheap precious metals. Remember, I always talk about those. We've got gold at, this is current, $4,525.50 an ounce. It's down $34.10. Silver is at $76.26 an ounce. It's down $1.21. And platinum is $1,945.30. It's down $25.30. Don't worry about palladium because that's used in manufacturing and you can only get palladium in Russia. But can you imagine gold has gone down almost over $5,000 an ounce. Now it's down to $4,525. That's a lot. But you know what I always tell people? And then we'll wrap up for the night. Pay down your debt. Get out of debt as soon as you can. Put some money aside. Do some serious budgeting. Live beneath your means. You don't need to have steak every night. You don't need to go out to different places. You need to conserve your money. Put that in a special fund. You might even have a source of security in your house where you could store some or another place. So you pay down your debt, put some money aside, and you create that special fund. And you add to it every paycheck, You always add to it and build it up, and don't touch that money unless it's an absolute emergency. Like you're out of work, you need food, you got to pay your rent. Your car blows a tire due to a pothole in a parking lot. You need a new roof, things like that. Okay, so you pay down your money, or pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, canned goods, freeze-dried, I don't care. Even MREs, those are awful expensive though, but put some food back, okay, for an emergency. And some people are saying, oh, 3 months worth. Other people are saying, put back a year's worth, because you never know. And canned goods will last quite a long time, as long as it's not dented or it's broken. Trust me, I've got canned goods that have been around for probably 5 years, and they're still very, very good. The only thing that's not good would be in tomatoes and tomato sauces, because they're too acidic. Okay, so then you've got your food. Be able to preserve or purify water and store it 3 gallons per person per day. That's a necessity, okay? Make sure you get those blue tarps for your house. Make sure you have things like batteries for your radios. Maybe you might have a solar panel to charge the batteries with. Maybe you might have a generator. Do you have gasoline to run it? Or can you run on diesel or gasoline or propane? Think ahead and prepare, because if for any reason the economy does a collapse, we have a severe problem. And if you check with Money and Change / Financially Prepped on Facebook, we have a lot of good selections of information there and a lot of good ideas. And with that, guys, wow, we've just about shot the whole week here. We will be having a little fun here later on. We will be doing the show on Wednesday, and we will be doing a lot of different topics. I don't want to do data centers all the time, even though it's important. It's very important, and I've got some good information on that. But there are other things we can talk about and have some fun with too. So we might have some funny videos. You never know. And that's what it is on My World every Wednesday at 8 p.m. With that, guys, have a good week. Be safe on Memorial Day. Think of the people that sacrificed their lives so that we could still be here with our system of government and our way of life, okay? With that, have a good one. We'll talk to you later. See you.